Wrestling 2.0 for February 2nd, 2024, episode 166, Country Clubber. Hello, everybody. Hello, Transcript AI Engine. Can you keep up with me? Can you keep pace? Welcome to Podcasting 2.0. It is the official board meeting of podcasting in general, not just the 2.0, all of it. That's right. We are the only boardroom that puts the V's in value for value. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who sniffs out feed spam faster than a New York rat looking for pizza. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Dave Joe.
Oh. I'm trying to make,
turn your name into Dave Joe.
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yes. John C. Dvorak and Dave Joe.
And Dave Joe, yeah, exactly. I thought that was the funniest bit of the very first Podcasting 2.0 transcribed by Apple, that they got your name as Dave Joe.
Right out of the gate. Good job.
Honestly, it was pretty hard. I mean, I don't think many people could have figured that one out, including the AI.
Yeah, I mean, when you say, you know, Dave Joe. I mean, that's hard. The AI is like, what?
I'm just leaving it Dave Joe. Hey, Dave Joe, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you, Adam Kerr?
Kerr is good over here. Yeah, everything's rocking and rolling. I'm waiting for the Amazon man. I'm very excited. I ordered a Remarkable 2.
I've seen little video. By the way, I'm going to be doing this a lot because I've been fighting a cold this week.
Is that time of year again for you? It's your quarterly.
Always, it's always that time.
Your quarterly cold.
yes, it is. but I've seen little blurbs about this thing. What is it, like a note taking device?
Yeah, it's a buddy of mine. When we went to Dallas last week, my buddy had it. He's like, you know, I was supposed to get one from Guy Kawasaki. It's his company. He said, my Remarkable People podcast and I'll send you one. He never sent me one. So, okay.
Okay.
It was probably, this was so long ago, it was probably the Remarkable 1. So they had the Remarkable 2. Yeah, it's like electronic paper for note taking. And I go through so many notepads, those little yellow legal notepads.
Oh, I fly through 10 of those things a month.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm always looking for one. And then, you know, as it gets thinner, it gets harder to write on. And then you're like, is it time for a new one? And so the whole thing, it's really just because every single show I have a page. You know, and I write down ideas, thoughts. I usually write down, you know, maybe just something beforehand, show titles, just, you know, general stuff. And it's like, well, it would make sense to have that just on some kind of e-paper. And I tried it out and I was pretty impressed. It felt good.
The joy of a fresh legal pad that's full, that hasn't had any, you know, like, I mean, it's like, it's hard to replicate this. I don't remember what this was. I was listening to a podcast one time, a long time ago. And, they were saying they had a question that was like, if you were fabulously wealthy, like, you know, leave the planet wealthy.
Leave your wife wealthy. Yes.
Leave you. Yes. If you were that level of fill in the blank wealthy and, you know, what would one completely frivolous, absurd thing you would do because money was no object? And I forgot who this was, but they were like, and I agreed fully with this, with what he said. He said the feeling of fresh socks that you just bought from the store. He's like, I would wear a brand new pair of socks every single day of my life.
Interesting.
I feel that way about legal pads. I would just never
have
use
a
the
fresh,
second sheet.
Fresh legal pad. Well, yeah. It would be something like that for me because I had a lot of money at one time and I had helicopters and castles and it doesn't live up to the hype. It really doesn't.
So the fresh socks every day is not
fresh
worth.
Socks every day. No, fresh socks every day is you know might be something that will be good compared to all the other things you can do. It's absolutely true. Absolutely true. Hey, RSS wins again, brother.
Oh,
we won again. RSS wins again.
Call her
daddy.
Yes. The most is this the okay. Let me explain my
Shall I explain first what that means for people who don't keep up with the podcasting industrial complex?
Please go ahead.
Yes. Call Her Daddy was a Spotify exclusive, 3 years, $60 million rumored, because no one really knows these numbers. Yeah, that's no one really knows Joe Rogan's actual number. They just, you know, it just became a number. I personally think it's higher than the 200 million people always said it was. So that deal, I guess, ended. It expired, and she's still on Spotify, but the feed is open, and it's available on all platforms, including the modern podcast apps.
Now, I've got two thoughts about this. Thought one is, in this case, I have got this feeling that she's a blabber, and that people actually do know how much this money was, because she seems like the type of person who doesn't keep these things to herself. I bet you that the rumored amount of this is actually pretty accurate.
Oh, of the first one, possibly. Notice there's no
Rogan. Rogan.
Notice there's no rumored amount of this now that she's open. I think the deal is over. They'll do the ad sales. So you know, maybe there's some minimum. But notice there's no, yeah, they renewed me for $10 million and we're going to be on all podcast apps. So I'm in agreement with you there that would have been part of the announcement. Was there even an announcement, or was it just kind of happened?
I think it was a press release. That's
what it was. Okay. All right.
From her, not from Spotify. That's the way it looked to me. Mm-hmm. It looked like it was from her new publishing company or whatever. The other thing is, this is like, this show in particular has always triggered in me to my doubt of
humanity.
yes, but in a roundabout, in a very specific way.
Yeah.
We're always told that about how squeamish advertisers are, and that they never want to be next to controversial content or that kind of. This is the nastiest show. I mean, it is just full of all. I mean, it is just.
Are there ads?
Raunchy.
Have you listened? Are there ads? Are there pre-rolls? Do they have anything going on?
I have not listened. When she first went exclusive on Spotify, I listened to it to find out what the hype was. And I didn't make it through. I mean, there's, you have to rate this show at like F bombs per minute. It is just horrible. And so this is totally not my thing.
Right.
So I haven't listened to it in probably, you know, a year, whenever she went exclusive.
Well, let's see if they have a pre-roll. Hold on a second. Let's see if they have a pre-roll.
What is up, Daddy Gang?
No pre-roll.
No, that's not a good sign.
No, I think the deal just ended.
I think it did too. I think you're right. And you know, this is also the other sort of big like deal news this week was the smartless thing moving from Amazon to Sirius for $100 million, and that deal did renew for $100 million over 3 years.
Yeah, I believe that. And you know, I believe it too. It's three top guys. They got to each do about $10 million a year. It's a lot of work. How many episodes do they do a week?
I don't know. They put out a lot of content though.
Yeah. And they're big names. Let me see. What's it called again? What's the show called?
Smartless.
Is it now also available?
Yes, it's available. Smartless. It's windowed. It's like exclusive for the first week, and then it goes out to everywhere.
Right. Let me see what they do. They do nine. So it seems like once a week. No, wait. This one on the second one. 15. So they're doing about one a week.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this type of show. See, so just because all the big, huge deals dried up doesn't mean that nobody's worth a lot of money. There are certain shows that are really worth a lot of money.
And this
Rogan being one of them, obviously, and Smartless. I think that $100 million, I don't think Sirius would have paid it if they knew they couldn't, if they didn't have a track record of it paying off.
Oh, Sirius paid a lot of money for Stern. I mean, they're deficit financed. I'm really happy for Jason Bateman though. I hung out with him. Did we talk about this? I hung out with him a couple times back in the MTV days. He was at the bottom of the stack. His sister, Justine Bateman, she was top of the bill. She she was in all kinds of stuff, and it was
movies
so,
and stuff.
Yeah, it was so bad that people mistakenly called him Justin Bateman. You know, that was like, it was like, he said, oh, people call me Justin Bateman all the time. I think he was doing Teen Wolf 4 or something like that. It was, he was really, and he was a super nice guy. I'm like, oh man, I feel bad for you. It just kind of sucks. But this is talent. You know, Will Arnett, talent, Sean Hayes, talent. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm sure that Sirius can make it worth their while.
And I always judge these things based on if I know anybody who has ever, who shows awareness of this show. And that I know people in my sphere, that in my friend group. That
everyone knows about
this show.
Everybody knows about it.
Yeah. And so that means I'm like, okay, if there's recognition, if you can just walk, you know, if you can just casually be talking in a group with friends, and then somebody mentions a particular show, that means it's big enough to be justifying the money that people are spending
sure,
on it.
Sure. Yeah. You got three big names. So yeah, that makes sense. I don't know if they're going to make the money back, but you know, they do a lot of house ads, advertising for other podcasts. They're really trying to do something that,
Breaking news. Joe Rogan, Spotify deal renewal worth up to $250 million. Podcast will no longer be exclusive to Spotify.
Interesting.
Nathan just dropped a Variety link.
Right. But who says it's $250 million?
Spotify inked a new multi-year partnership deal for controversial.
Said to be worth.
Under the new pact, Rogan's popular show will now be available on other audio platforms. In addition to being available on Spotify, Rogan's show will soon be available on additional services, including Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, YouTube, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so it's not exclusive anymore.
This move comes under Spotify's revised strategy to relinquish exclusive streaming rights in favor of broader distribution. So that means that they could not make enough money on the ads, if this is true, that they needed more distribution, which is... goes back to my original point. RSS wins.
Yeah.
And I know that buying a spot on Rogan is expensive.
I bet.
Because I know someone who tried to buy a spot is like, no, I don't have $1 million. And you have to buy, you know, not just Rogan. You got to buy a run of network. So, good. Well, I'll ping him and I'll congratulate him on this. And then maybe he'll have me on again.
We'll see. Okay. Yes.
Because he never wants to invite me before his deal is done, because he know I'm going to start probing him. Like, what's going on? What's going on, Joe? What's going on, Joe? I'm happy for him. I was concerned. I mean, I was like, I hope Spotify has the money.
Said to be worth up to $250 million. So let's just say that the room, you know, of course nobody knows accurate things. Let's just say that they're in the ballpark.
But let's welcome him back to podcasting, man.
Yeah, the old one was $200 million. The new one is $250 million plus non-exclusivity.
Right.
That tells me a lot there.
Yeah.
He's worth more as a non-exclusive than he is as an exclusive.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why they're doing all this, why they're not doing the exclusive. Because there's a lot of stories about Spotify bringing podcasters in to be exclusives, and it wrecked their show. Because you went exclusive, you got this deal, you went exclusive, the deal ran out, then you went back on all the podcast apps, but you had lost all your subscribers and everybody had just kind of forgotten about your show. And so you're like you're almost starting from scratch all over again. And so they just kind of cut you loose to drift off into the ocean.
So I wonder if he'll be renewing his Libsyn feed, if he'll pick that up again.
Hmm. Oh, I don't know. That's a good point.
Or
I would bet it's on Megaphone. I would doubt that it's because
you would think so. Yeah, you would think so.
Hmm. Welcome back, Joe.
Yeah, indeed. And I'm just looking like, oh man, he might have changed his number. I think I've lost contact.
Oh no, he's ghosting you.
Yeah. Well, he changes his phone often.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. That he's like just what he'll do is he'll get a new phone. Usually when a new iPhone comes out, he'll get a new phone and he puts the other one aside. He says, because so many idiots get his number. He says, it's very crazy. Mm-hmm. Which I have as well, except they're all from China and they're all chicks. It's the same chick named Tiffany Asia.
always wanted to go to tennis practice with you for some reason.
Yeah. Tennis practice, shopping. Are you okay? Haven't heard from you. Yeah, exactly.
How's it going?
Yeah. You know, so anyway, so I think that that really shows that that along with Apple's entrance into the new into the namespace tag with transcript, I think that really shows that RSS, without anyone owning it, without anyone being in charge of it, once again, it just keeps on trucking.
Yeah. And tell me again how RSS isn't working, how podcasting audio, you know, how podcasting isn't yeah, from, you know, paying the bills.
I think it was, I think it was Spurlock who posted that. And it's true that YouTube, cause they had RSS feeds. YouTube had RSS feeds with a link to the video, which was not as an enclosure or anything. It was just a link. So you could actually follow along. You could subscribe to YouTube feeds. And they removed them.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, surprise, surprise. I know why. It's because we were talking about putting those into podcast apps. I bet they're like, oh, we can't have that.
No, crap, we have shut that down.
We haven't even figured out our played status yet. We can't have those guys jumping ahead. That's no good.
But you have, I thought something I listened to Podney's Weekly this morning, and I thought something that they were talking about that was pretty interesting was this Acast blocking YouTube ingestion.
Oh, they have to. They have to do that.
I agree totally with, you know, this is basically what you said back in, you know, you made the point so eloquently about saying if you you know, if you play with YouTube, you're the devil's friend.
Yeah.
And you're what'd you say? You're Satan's helper.
Helper. Sounds like me.
Satan's helper. Exactly. Yeah. And Acast is like, we're not going to help Satan. We're going to go our own way, because I don't know why in the world you would.
Right.
It's craziness. You're just giving, if your platform is all based on digital advertising, why would you just hand that off to somebody else to monetize? It's goofy.
Yeah. Well, again, this is just, it's par for the course. We've seen it all happen. I mean, you know, it's interesting that there's a parallel here as we're 3 years into podcasting 2.0. OG podcasting started. We purposely replicated something I did, which was the daily source code, which was meant for the developers and, you know, really just to give someone, everybody who was developing an application. We had no apps or phones back then, an application for Windows or Mac. And then there was some Linux stuff as well, to give them a feed with a new enclosure every day, with a new item, new enclosure. That was the whole point. And just to talk about what was going on and my own personal feedback. So I was kind of feeding back to the developers. So we replicated that with the podcasting 2.0 podcast. And it was about, I was going to say, it was about 3 years in when Steve Jobs called me. And that was Apple jumping in saying, hey, we want to do something with this. And it's been here's the parallel, about 3 years. And now Apple says, hey, you know, and they called and they got you. Where's Adam?
I picked up the phone. Yeah.
it's parallel. I like that. You know, these things, I don't know. History doesn't always repeat, but rhyming for sure. For sure.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, definitely. It definitely rhymes. And I think that's the other thing about the RSS world is that everybody is, there's always with RSS, because it's open source, there's always a rising tide lifts all boats mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. People, want customers for their app. I'm not going to, you know, discount that. Some of these apps are businesses. Some of them aren't. Some of these apps are hobbies and projects, but some of these apps are businesses and they want customers, and that's fine. But there really always is, that's why podcasting 2.0 really has brought the podcast hosting companies together more than they ever were before. They all knew each other, but they didn't communicate and participate to the level that they do now. I mean, there's more of a feeling of, you know, we're in this together type deal. And so I think that, you know, definitely that's the one thing that is true about open source in general, but especially RSS, because when Apple, what I saw was when Apple did this last week, everybody was happy. I mean, the app developers and everybody was happy because they're like, well, you know, finally we get like what Alex said, we feel validated.
Yes.
About the things that we're doing because now, you know, they're doing it too. And I laughed here in the new media show this week. Rob's like, well, maybe this is just a fluke.
You watch that. I mean, I don't know. Like, if Todd's not on, I'm sorry. No, all props to Rob, but it's the combo. You know, you need the two of them. Otherwise, it's not quite as dangerous and exciting.
Yeah, I listened. All I heard was the clip that John Spurlock posted because I'm like, I saw the YouTube link. I'm like, nah, I'm not listening to that.
Oh well, I missed the clip. What was the clip?
It was Rob asking about, I forgot the whole detail of it, but it was Rob was talking to their fill-in co-host, Tom Webster, and he said, he was talking
here,
about
I,
Apple.
I got it here. Let me see.
Okay. We did see Apple, you know, embrace the transcription tag, and many in the industry are kind of like excited about this and thinking that this is a crack of opportunity for the industry to be telling these big companies what kind of
I'm excited,
you know, namespace tags that they will embrace going forward. I do wonder if this is really kind of an anomaly because of the ubiquity and the interest.
How long does it take before he says YouTube and video? Like, as another 15 seconds or?
I don't remember if it's in there.
Because I watched some of it. I'm like, let's go back. There we are again. I mean, even the title said it. The title, yeah, I think, literally said, you know, we talk about. What is it? What was the title?
Okay, Rob. So, you know, podcasting 2.0 tags, they're never, you know, not, I don't think he said this, but, you know, there's a lot of people that are, you know, they're not going to be legitimate until a big company adopts them. And then when a big company adopts them, oh, it's just an anomaly.
And
it's like, come on.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was 10 years and everyone said, no. And you're right. The hosting companies were apprehensive or I'd call it in irons. You know, there were stocks like, well, if Apple doesn't add it, well, how about we just add 15 apps to the mix? And that happened. And I think it's very cool. Now I loved your blog post, by the way. I thought that was great.
Oh, thanks.
Your Substack. I thought that was fantastic. Cause I'm also one of the crazy ones. You know, I like my modern podcast app. I like all of those features. It'll be a long time before any other mainstream app, rivals that. And I think our apps will go far beyond that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you want the crazy, listening, full featured listening experience, that if you want to see what podcasting over RSS is actually capable of,
yeah,
like in a real full extreme way, you want a podcasting 2.0, like you want one of these crazy apps.
Yeah, for sure.
Because you're not, that's not what Apple is. So like the iPhone used to be the crazy phone ever. And the BlackBerry was the safe business phone that was stable didn't have any weird features.
You're right.
But then they slowly switched. And so now the way it is the iPhone, as you become mature and get a huge market share, you become the stable one, mm-hmm. and you become the one that can't do crazy things. And so that's what the iPhone became over these years is, and in the Apple apps, they need to be, and they're going to be slow to add features and they're going to be very stable and predictable because they have a, you know, 2 billion users or, you know, whatever the number is. But so they're not going to ever be the bleeding edge, you know, feature set. And that's what I want. So, you know, I'm not going to switch, but that's okay. I like, they will add more just like I don't think Spotify cares because I don't think that podcasting, I don't think they care much about podcasting.
No, but, no, they care about keeping the lights on is what they care about.
Yeah, exactly. Cause you see reading all these articles about the Universal Music TikTok thing.
Yeah.
That happened also this week.
Yeah. That was quite interesting.
It tells you, you see where, you know, cause Spotify is a player in that whole system, and because they're, I mean, Spotify is really just a a sticker on top of the music industry. Mm-hmm. And so when you're those guys, they don't care about stuff like this. It's purely a money play. It's just pure. And the thing about the Apple Podcast team is Apple Podcast has never made any money for Apple. It's an idealistic part of the company. Yeah. They never have made any money or very little, or they'll have, maybe they break even, who knows, but it's not a profit center. It never has been. It's more of a throwback to just old Apple, where they had some parts of the company that were idealistic. And I think that still exists in the podcast team, but that's not Spotify. Spotify, if they don't get $100 million in profit immediately, they do not care about you.
I like the TikTok Universal Music standoff, because it really is a standoff where I would say, from my analysis and from what I know, TikTok breaks music. You know, TikTok is where new music is introduced, is where music goes viral. The term it's also heated. This is a big term all the kids are using, Dave.
I like that. Heated.
Heated. Oh, yeah. That's like... that's the algo. So they crank up the algo on something by heating it.
Oh,
turn up the heat, got the heat button. yeah, that's what they call it. The kids call it heating. Oh, they're heating those videos. How could I ever win? Yeah, you can't. That's the whole point. And so they're like, hey, we're breaking these records for you. We don't want to pay as much. And the music industry is like, you're screwing the artist, man. Like, okay.
Sure. Okay.
I thought I had a clip of that. Let me see. Did I have a clip?
I'm not sure this.
Oh, yeah. I have a clip.
Oh, okay.
An unplayed clip.
A lot of popular music could be about to vanish from TikTok. Universal Music Group holds the rights to artists, including Taylor Swift, Bad Bunny, Drake, and many others. It says a licensing deal with TikTok has expired, and it will no longer allow its artists' music to be featured on the social media platform. Universal Music says TikTok is proposing to pay a fraction of what other social platforms pay. TikTok claims the decision is being fueled by corporate greed, that music will disappear by the end of the day if a deal is not reached.
Oh, it's corporate greed. Go figure.
Oh, you're so greedy. Oh, please. This is stupid. Yeah. I think it's hilarious, though. I've never been on TikTok. The only TikTok things I see is what my kids send me through text messages.
Right.
And it opens like in the browser or whatever. But I do think it's hilarious to all of a sudden see like some person dancing and there's just no music. that's funny great. To me.
Well, I know a lot about this from the Costello family, who I've been talking to a lot ever since they came on the scene. And, mm-hmm. The first question, even a lawyer, before a lawyer will even, cause you know, it's all lawyers, right? You don't just go to a label. No, you got to get a lawyer. Your lawyer talks to their lawyer. It's all lawyer stuff. The first thing they say, well, how are your socials? What do you have on TikTok? You have to have X amount on TikTok. Every movie star, even big stars, is put into their contract. You have to have TikTok. You will post on TikTok. I think TikTok has the upper hand here. I really do.
See, I think, I don't know. I feel the other way. I feel like the music labels have the upper hand, because I feel like TikTok is nothing without the music. It's nothing. I mean, like, their business depends on the music labels, but at least the music labels have they have music. I mean, like, that people are going to continue to listen to music, but people will just get so, like, TikTok is worthless without the music. I mean, you can just see, because the only other thing on TikTok that's of any, that it gets any play are sketches from stolen from stand-up comedy routines with a bunch of overlays put on it to try to fool the algorithm into thinking it's not real.
Yeah, see, I disagree. That's your scroll hole. I mean, you get into the, like that term? I pick it all up from the kids.
Hole?
Scroll hole. That's your scroll hole.
You flew right by me.
I know.
Like
I'm glad you like that. No, I mean, so I see Tina. And of course, all women are on TikTok. And And what comes by for her is these videos of people who do voiceovers for their animals, mainly with dogs. This is one guy who's really good at it. You know, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of, there's a lot of Jesus stuff. Once you get into the Jesus hole, whoa, that's all you get. So their algos are very unifying. And they just give you all that stuff. So if you're into dance videos, lots of music, yeah, you're going to get, and I'm sure it may be the majority. I don't know, but there's a lot more on TikTok. It's just whatever you start to feed the algo, it responds pretty quickly.
Yeah, you're starting to change. You're starting to change my mind.
I'm sorry.
Dang it.
Well, so let's just move beyond that for a moment.
All right.
Because we are zigging to their zag. The value for the value verse, the value for value music is getting pretty official. There's some licensing that's in a very far reaching what is the word I'm looking for? Its status is very close to being usable.
I need you to explain this to me because collectively there's been 150,000 words of emails that have flown by me and have not read any of them.
So, but I kind of threw a wrench into it all because there was a lot about music. And I said, why are you confusing yourself with music? Say you have an RSS feed. Yes. There's an MP3 file in an item that is in an enclosure. Yes. Okay. How is that different from a podcast? Well, it's music. So it's a podcast. You have a podcast that has very short episodes. If once you start to put that into your brain and remove all of the old school licensing that we've all been accustomed to, and you know, you talk to any lawyer, the minute you say, "Oh, it's music," this has to happen differently. This is how we do this. No. And so there's really three pieces. One is, you need new agreements with the people who worked on a song. And you still have some old school, traditional names for those. So writer, composer, the producer, the person who owns the master, who may or may not, who might have put up the money. You know, there's certain things that are just there. But all of the other organizations, these black boxes that collect money on behalf of artists and take care of you, including publishing companies, there's the worldwide publishing industrial complex is very interesting. Once you put that out of your mind and say there's really only two things we have to look at, that's the agreement of the people who work on the podcast. I'm just going to call it a podcast just to make it very simple. So X amount of people worked on the podcast. You have splits that are developed. And in the case of this kind of podcast, one or more people may get more of the split up front, which then has to switch after a certain amount has been achieved. That's called the recoupment. That could work perfectly for a podcast. Hey, I put up $2,000 for the studio. I get the first $2,000 out.
Oh, okay. Right? This is an interesting. Okay, that's a good concept.
That's very, very understandable. The next part is value for value on apps and value for value as a remote item. Now, the value for value on apps, I had. I mean, there's a lot of attitude changing that I attempted to do. Said no one is putting anything weird into the concept of putting a podcast up and say, hey, could you just send me something? And then, you know, the app typically takes something. And that is very transparent to the user. So in my mind, that's kind of solved. You know, and if there's an app out there that all of a sudden was taking 50%, I think the community itself would say, hey, what are you doing? I mean, that
it would be recognized fast.
It would be recognized very quickly. There's also a piece that people have to recognize that it's not all the pieces will never add up to 100. There's network fees, you know, some case a routing goes differently. You lose a sat here or there, You know, we all have to just recognize and realize that it's not 100% accountable the way it is with fiat money systems. It's not a big deal, but when you're dealing with five sats at a time, it's like, hey, where did 20% go? Because I lost a Satoshi. Mm-hmm. So that has to be figured out, or just has to be realized.
And honestly, that's not all that different than things go in the business world anyway, because you get, you sign a contract with somebody and you're like, okay, well, I'm going to start using your product. And then the invoices come through and there's 26 line items with all these different little, you know, fees and telecommunication, you know, fee on Obama phone fee. And
Obama all these, phone! You know,
there's all these things and you're like, oh, what is all this? And then you have to talk to your account rep and figure out what all this stuff is. And it's like, it's never clean is what I'm saying. Well, messiness is not just a V for V thing.
And beyond that, there's sendbacks, buybacks, whatever they call them, you know, the music. With buying music, this is already kind of going out of vogue, but when buying music, or if your music is available somewhere and someone buys, you know, 100 CDs, they may send back 50. Hey, I didn't buy them. You have to buy them back. There's all kinds of stuff like that. That's the same, by the way, if you use Amazon. If you sell products on Amazon, people will send stuff back. You know, so there's all kinds of shenanigans. You're losing money everywhere.
Yeah.
Now, the most important part to me was reinventing music radio by using the remote item tag. And I was very sharply focused on calling it a remote item and not a song, because that it technically is a remote item. It could be a clip from someone else's podcast. It can be an insert of an entire episode of someone else's podcast. That podcast happens to be 3:45 long, but I'm inserting it. Now, that's where I think is very valid to have an ownership license that says, hey, if you're going to include this in your podcast, it's my stuff. So you're making what I call a derivative work. You're like, you're copying it. You're playing a piece in your podcast. So first of all, you have to respect my splits, which is how the remote item works. And second of all, I want a minimum amount of your overall split. I think that's very fair. And it's an extra tag, an extra parameter we would need in the value block or the remote, whatever the spec is. Like, if you want to use this value for value in your podcast, then you have to give me at least 50% of your split.
Let me play it back to you so I can see if I'm understanding this correctly. So there would be a license. This license would say, hey, I'm making my music available value for value. If you're going to use my music in your show,
just say my content. Don't even say music. Content. Just say content. Okay.
I'm going to make my content V for V. If you're going to use my content in the show as a remote item, then the remote percentage needs to be at least 50%.
A minimum. You may give me more, right, but I need a minimum. I would set mine at 50%. And so we just played a little bit of the new media show. If that was actually available as an audio episode, which it may be, I will go back and I will put the value time split in there for the amount of time that we played that with, and I would just give 100% of the split. I think that license for me feels okay in the value for value model, because you're not saying I need this amount of money. You're just saying, please respect my splits, first of all. So that means you're using the remote item tag, and here's a minimum that I want. That you could say there's no minimum. You could say, I have to have, you know, 90%, whatever it is. And it's all ultimately based on the honor system, but you know, you could technically go back and take a look at it. But I think that for using someone's content, unless you have a different license in there, which would be Creative Commons, you know, share alike, you know, there's all different licenses. This would be a V for V license for using it as a remote item in your podcast. And it would work for any remote item.
First of all, Respect the Splits is a great t-shirt. We need that. second of all, this is really good timing because there's a guy that popped up and sent an email the other day, and he's working somehow. I wasn't fully clear on this, but he's working somehow with Benjamin Bellinu and the Castapod open source group, and he's trying to narrow down the big list of open source licenses that we link to in the namespace to be just basically a small subset of licenses that are applicable to podcast content, podcast delivered content. So, you know, of course it'd be Creative Commons and that kind of thing. I told him, I was like, you know, fantastic. This is great. Please do this because, you know, the reason we came up with the license tag and then we added a link to the possible values, the license tag can have. Of course it can be a custom license. That's fine. But the list we linked to was just this common list of open source, is a curated common source, open source list of licenses.
Right.
But that's just because we're developers, not legal experts. So we're not knowing what this is. So if we actually can boil this down to just a few different license types, one of which is a value for value license that works really well for people who want to go into V for V. I think that is like the timing can't be better.
So it's that part. And for me, it's basically, like we do it already in the license tag. Is that at the channel level or is it also at the item level?
I think that's at the channel. Let's look it up. Let's pop into the namespace here. Oh, let's see.
Consult the book of knowledge. Pop into the namespace. It would have to be at the, while you're looking that up, it would have to be at the item level. And then as part of the remote item tag, I would say we need a minimum, a field for minimum so that the author, the owner can say it's either none or let's say it's, if it's not filled in, it's none. It's no minimum. Optional, you can put in a minimum split that needs to be respected by the person including it. And then the tools can start just respecting that. So if I'm in the split kit and I grab a remote item, regardless of whether it's 5 minutes or 50 minutes, it could automatically fill in, here's the minimum. Do you want to make it more? You know, so we'd need an extra option under the remote item tag.
So that, so that's different. So we can't really repurpose the suggested attribute. This would need to be something new.
Yeah. Well, you can't add something to it.
No, we can.
The suggested is suggested. I don't think is different. The suggested tag is, for podcast apps and then the apps, which for some reason is five. It's five.
It's example code.
Who came up with that? Who came up with five? No, this would be specifically for the remote item. Now, I don't know. Does that mean? Yeah, we'll probably have to have a new tag, which would be like remote item minimum or whatever. Does that make sense? See, this is why there's two of us, because I got the high level. You got to help me figure out where we put it.
Remote item minimum.
No, yeah, okay. You're mumbling mic now.
I'm noting over
you're
here.
You're noting. Oh, noting. Yes. Yeah. On your yellow legal pad.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. The license tag is at the channel or the item level. So we're good. We're good to go with that already. No changes necessary.
Cool.
And you can have, the way the license tag works is you can specify a license by name.
I'm sorry. We have a point of order from the boardroom. Mike Newman has a point of personal preference. He says we're deep into the namespace talk. Why no heating? Yes, you're right.
And now it's time for some hot namespace talk.
Good point.
Talk.
Good point.
Apologies.
Thank you, Mike. Yes. Thank you. Apologies to the board. Yes.
I know what Mike really wants is the hot math talk.
No, that's
off limits. It's in the box. It cannot come out of the box.
He's already had one point of personal preference for this board meeting.
It's too hot. The math jingle is too hot.
Just too hot.
So the license tag, you can specify by name and it comes out of that list, which hopefully soon we will have a narrowed down list that makes more sense. Or you can do a custom license and give a URL with a link to the license text. So this, you know, you could have somebody who takes the V4V license, however it's developed, you take that license and say they wanted one change to it, mm-hmm. and they could, you know, put their version of that in.
Yeah.
There.
So
I think we got tons of flexibility here.
Yes. And now there was a call, which I'm not very big on because I think that automatically puts you in a whole different realm. They wanted it's the collective they. I don't want to put this on one person, but let's just say the group has been talking about a maximum fee taken by apps. And I don't think I don't think we should go down that road.
I agree, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because the apps act as a sort of trying to figure out the right term for this. The apps act as a sort of unbiased layer in the transactions. So you have the listener who decides how much value they're going to send, and then you have the creator who decides how much they decide how that gets allocated. They're like, okay, I would like during this transaction for a minimum of this to happen here. I want these are my splits. This is where the stuff goes. They're doing allocation of whatever the value is that comes in. But then you have the apps are in the middle. They're just taking the transaction and sending it to where it was specified. They're not. Once you start dictating to them what the, you know, how actual amounts, now they sort of lose their unbiased status and it becomes hard for the listener to trust the app.
Mm-hmm.
That the listener has to, in order for value for value to work, the listener has to know that the party that's doing the payment on their behalf, sort of like you might call the payment processor or the payment delivery platform, they themselves don't have an interest either in anything.
Right. Their fee is typically on top of what's sent anyway.
Right. I do not think that's a good idea at all, because then you have the apps that are beginning to be pushed in a certain direction by the creator themselves. And I don't think that makes I think that hurts trust.
There's one other thing that would come with this license that I'm in agreement with. It sucks, but I understand it. It has to be revocable. Hmm. So you have to be able to say, okay, if the owner of this content, for whatever reason, revokes this license, I would actually have to strip that remote item out of my podcast.
Hmm.
Not a happy day.
No, that sucks.
But if a license can't be revoked, then it makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't have something that's always, it can't be a one way thing.
Yeah, it has to be revocable. Now, will this happen? I'd say 99% of the time, no. I can see where there may be certain types of podcasts that could be purchased by a third party, and that third party would then assume the rights to monetize it. And then now there's all kinds of language, like you have to give us a certain amount of time. You have to give me time codes. You have to, you know, you can't just say strip it out everywhere. You can't do that.
Well, I think I don't think that might not be that big of a deal, because you could basically just go through and all the areas in your feed where this particular remote item,
where the violation takes place.
Yeah. You just null it. You know, you just null that out, and there's no more.
Well, not just that, but you'd have to take it out of the actual derivative work, out of the recording.
See, that's. Yeah, I think you're. That doesn't sound that much different than what already happens, though. Honestly, I mean, if somebody calls you up and says, "Hey, you used this," and you get into a legal argument with them, you're going to have to take it out anyway.
Exactly. So it professionalizes the remote item, and I think if you just view it as a remote item, and we don't get bogged down into music, but it's a remote item. I think that's a very fair way to go, because we can use that for everything. And it doesn't mean that everyone's going to be getting splits on everything, and most people's stuff isn't interesting enough to include in another podcast. But I'll put mine at zero or at you know, whatever, up to you. And then if someone wants to put, like Kyron, you know, he throws 20% if he uses a P, whatever. I mean, it's that nothing has to change, is my point. Only for people who feel that they have something so valuable that they want a minimum, and they want a license, and it's their stuff. So, you know, I think they have every right. I'll stay away from fair use for a moment, because fair use is very, very complicated and no one wants to litigate that. But I know a lot about it. But obviously, Boostagram Ball, the remote items I include in that is not fair use. You know, I'm using someone's stuff, and I'm literally commercializing it.
Right.
So right.
I think your fair use comes into play where you have. I mean, technically, you don't have to. You would not have to do a split or a remote item for a clip if it would fall under fair use. You would do it because you're wanting to be a nice person.
Exactly.
So this, like, beyond music and like, I think the thing with music and why it's so prescient there is because it's a full work. I mean, you're playing a full work, and you're, and it's obviously there's history there. But, you know, with a clip, it's just like, well, you know, I'm going to give, you can't, I guess you could, you know, you could go in there and say, okay, I'm going to V for V license all of my podcast episodes so that if anybody ever gets a clip, I have to get a remote item. It's not really going to work that way. I mean, cause that doesn't supersede fair use. So you got, you know, that's not really going to work, but for music or something like that, or an audiobook or things like that. Yeah. I mean, like, you really almost do need that in place. And I could think, like, you know, Ice Cube Soup had a good point. I mean, you can't really revoke a license for something that's already an event that happened in the past. I mean, with, you know, going back, you know,
well, a podcast lives forever. You can.
Yeah.
The podcast lives forever. So it's not like it's in the past. It's now every day of the week.
Yeah, no, I see what you mean. Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. Unfortunately, it's very similar to TikTok and Universal Music.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same thing. Hey, we don't have an agreement. We have a disagreement. There's people dancing with no music.
Right.
If we want to make the podcast formerly known as Music possible in Value for Value, I think we have to relent on that. I'm not happy about it because it's just a pain in the butt. But it is what it is.
Well, the thing, I don't know that it's as much of a pain. Will there be niggles? Yes. But I'm not sure that it's as much of a pain as it may sound like, because if you're going into V for V, your options are you make something or you make nothing.
Right. Well, let's just call a spade a spade. This is when someone is V for V and then gets picked up and basically sells their stuff.
Yes. Right.
And so it's a change of ownership. and there's money involved. And I would be very happy for people. Oh, that's, I'm so happy for you. See you on the next project. See you when you get dropped.
Yeah, right.
You know, I
see a year from now.
I actually think that very few artists who are having success in V for V, I don't know if many would take the big mainstream contract if it was about music. I really don't think so. I mean, in a way, Rogan did this. Rogan sold his entire catalog to Spotify. He negotiated 100 episodes he could keep public.
Okay.
I know that because he was very open about that. And all the rest had to be gone. And so, because they bought his entire catalog. It was really a licensing deal. And so all of his stuff left podcasting, except for 100 episodes, which I think he only kept on YouTube, maybe. I don't even know what he did with them. But he kept 100. It included podcasts he didn't want any out there anymore. He wanted them gone because he didn't like the guest or something like that. Okay. So it's very simple. It will happen, but it won't happen very often.
Yeah, I agree. And the, you know, if Marina Osk gets, I don't know her situation, but if she's now the full owner of all her stuff and then she sells it and gets picked up by a label and wants to pull that off V for V, she's got the right to do that.
Yeah.
She's got the right to do that now, even without a license. I mean, she could do this now.
You just take it right off. Yeah, exactly.
But and send you a message and say, hey, can you take this out of your show? And you'd have to.
Yeah. This is just a way to solidify that. And I think if we put the minimum split value into the spec somewhere, and the license tag is already, we can add that. It's easy because the tag already exists. It's just a new license that comes out. Mm-hmm. And I think it should be like the V for V license or something. So that if someone puts in a derivative of the V for V license with some different parameters, that has to be apparent.
Like a GPL or whatever.
Exactly. I think this will kind of flesh out. I'm not too worried. Also, we don't have to get all messed up about it because this will work out. Not a single person has said, boy, this really sucks. I get no Satoshis. Everyone is positive. Everyone's positive because they haven't gotten it. They've been so screwed. It's just everything has been positive about this. Right. Now, along with that, I'm very proud of Julie and Jim Costello, who have launched phantompowermusic.io. You should take a look at this website.
Power Music.
They have launched a company to onboard artists into Value for Value.
Ooh, this is pretty. It's a nice website.
Yeah, and they're doing education and, I think they've partnered with rssblue.com for hosting. And I mean, they've thought a long, and I mean, they've been thinking about, they have all the experience, honestly. They know it. They understand how all this stff works. Look, I didn't notice that. Look at all the apps. They have all the apps there. Receive boost today. Grab an app. You can zap. Oh, okay. Well, if you have to put the zap in there, I understand the rhyming, but okay. Look, they got the music shows down there as well. So they're really promoting the whole thing. And it was kind of cute. They're like, please don't hate us because they asked $10 a month. Please don't hate us for asking for fiat. I said, you're getting psyoped by people. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I think the deal is $10 a month. They set you up. They help you. They give you all the education. It's probably more in a group setting. I think they're going to do like big calls and stuff. And then 5% of your sats, 5% split.
That seems fair.
Yeah, and they help you manage everything. I mean, I'm happy because now I can say to artists, go, instead of me explaining it, go here. Talk to these people.
They have Marina Osk as one of their.
They do?
One of their listed artists.
Where do you have their artists?
If you go to our artists.
Oh, I see it. What did they have? Yeah, Abby Muir, Ainsley Costello, Amber Sweeney. Was it Jack Femister, Jessica? Oh, I like these. I like these. Oh, and the Trusted. Yeah. I happen to have picked the Trusted for our song today.
Oh, because the Wave Lake has really stepped up too. I mean,
they have.
They've got two new podcasts that they're doing now, yep. Mixtape and Waveform. Mm-hmm. And they interviewed your buddy.
Yeah, Cody. That was great. I was like, oh, this is, and I didn't know that FM radio, was it FM radio? That was Michael. That's his band.
FM radio?
Not FM radio. Was it, Pirate Radio, that song, Pirate Radio.
They've done a lot, and I want to make sure, because people on the podcast in 2.0 have given them heat before, and we have too, but they've stepped up. They have really changed their feeds.
Mm-hmm. They're auto-submitting, I think.
Great now.
The auto-submitting?
They're auto-submitting. They're doing value time splits. They've got their feeds have channel-level value blocks now. Like, they've fully adapted to V4V podcasting based music. And I mean, like they deserve all the credit in the world for making those
absolutely.
Changes.
Absolutely. Yeah. We needed them to do that. We needed them to do that. We really did. And I love it. And I'm sure they still have a focus on Noster somewhere, but when I listen to their shows, it's getting there. Mm-hmm. It really is.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I think they deserve some credit. They deserve the kudos. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. So that's happening.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about what Mitch posted.
Yes.
With, you know, just burnout. Because
did he actually use the burnout term? Because I mean, I read it as burnout. I'm like, you and I text. I don't even know what to say. I mean, I feel horrible about this. I mean, what can I do? You know, I can send him money, but that's not a salary. You know, what do we do? I mean, this is hard. This is hard stuff.
I think, let me just see if I can pull his post up real quick. Make sure we, accurately represent what he said, because I think he did say that he was burned out. Let's see. So I've been off the grid so long, folks. I've been busy with a combination of making money, so I don't have to go back to a day job. To be frank, Podverse is pretty overwhelming to keep up with. And it gets more overwhelming with each day. I let things fall behind. I've been working on Podverse for 10 years now, and I absolutely love, he said, I didn't even know how to code when I started. And absolutely love what we've accomplished, but I've always had hoped we would have a thriving open source community by now. I don't know what course of action can convert Podverse from being this 10-hour a day labor of love for me into a reasonably managed business with adequate resources. The truth is, as Podverse has grown more popular, it has become more difficult to keep up with. We have many generous supporters, but the money we make is far from being able to pay someone a full-time salary. He says they don't want to accept VC money. Focusing on getting caught up. He talks about, unless there were an increase in steady open source contributors, I can't see how I can keep up with the rate of progress and responsiveness people are used to.
For sure.
So, you know, I just want to talk a little bit about that. Cause, I mean, I've been involved in open source projects for a long time.
That's happening.
Oh, I can hear that.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to do that to you.
So I was like, I thought that was you. I'm like, what?
It was me. It was me.
It's a W.
No idea why that worked that way. Okay, yeah.
But I've been involved in open source projects for more than a decade, and this one's going on 3 years. Mm-hmm. And I've had times when absolutely I'm just going to use the term burnout.
It's fair.
I think it's just a general term. I don't think it's unfair to Mitch, to say burnout, because we all get there. And you know, Martin from Podfriend, he felt, you know, he got burned out, and definitely. You know, as well. Mm-hmm. And so, I would want to say a couple of things here. So, managing an open source project, is primarily not about the technology.
Yeah.
It's about relationships. It's about managing relationships. There's this quote from Charlotte Mason. She's like our kids go to a Charlotte Mason school. She was an educator from the 1800s, but she has this phrase that she says, education is the science of relationships. Mm-hmm. I think that's what open source is all about, the science of managing relationships.
Right.
And so you could boil down I never feel burned out. And I think part of the reason is because, I've learned to adapt to basically like it's fine mentality. It's fine.
It's fine.
Like, it's like that little guy with the comic with the holding the coffee and everything's on fire. You know, it's fine.
Everyone's burning up.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So there's a few different, it all comes down to relationships. And so you could look at it like this. If you want to rules or sort of like some concepts, it's fine not to respond to people. Mm-hmm. That's sort of like the first thing when it comes to managing open source, mm-hmm. is, you know, you have to pick one, like basically pick one public communication channel. These are just the things that I've done. Pick one public communication channel, pick one private communication channel. For most people, that's email. And just stick with that. Don't get sucked into 15 different communication channels where you're on Telegram, Matrix, GitHub, you know, Mastodon, email, Amen. Text message, Signal, Teams, Amen, chat,
yep.
Slack. I mean, it will drive you insane. You'll never rest. It's awful. This is like the Marco Arment strategy. Just ignore people.
he's been pretty successful with that strategy.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, he would be honest with you and say, he will not answer your emails 99% of the time, but it's because if you get sucked into that and you let yourself become burdened by the responsibility of responding to everybody, you will burn yourself out. Your fuse will go out fast.
By the way, this goes even for podcasters.
Sure.
I mean, it's mm-hmm. the same thing. I can't respond to everybody. I certainly can't. I wind up, I wind up doing my email and I wind up praying for a lot of people. No response, but I prayed for you.
Yeah.
There's really nothing else you can do sometimes.
I silenced almost all of my GitHub repo notifications. I don't get notifications from the namespace anymore. Mm. People post things there and I don't even know. Mm. And I go, and when I choose to engage with the namespace, I go and I check out what's there.
Right.
Notification fatigue will kill you.
Yeah.
It will literally stress you out. If somebody posts something on a repository and it takes you like a month before you even see it, guess what? It's fine.
It's what it is.
It's fine. Nobody died. Nobody got sick. It's fine. You know, people will eventually learn your communication cadence.
Amen.
And what to expect from communicating with you. It's like, Dave Weiner used to, you know, he wrote this long thing about, if you're going to work with me, here's what you need to know about the way I work. Do you remember this?
Oh yes. I remember these very well.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I've got three modes. I'm heads down working mode. I'm communicating mode. And I forget all the details.
Yeah.
But like, he published his like cadence of how you could expect to work with him. I don't think you have to do that. I don't think you have to publish that. I think people just learn it. People learn that, after they communicate with you a few times, they learn that sometimes you're just not going to respond for perhaps a month. And they just know that you're there, and you will eventually, you get back to them and they know that everything's fine.
Right.
So it's not something you have to get super detailed about, but it's all, you know, I guess the second part is it's also fine. And this is big in open source too. It's also fine if people are not nice to you, because people are going to be not nice to you. This is true with all open source. People say terrible things. People get selfish. It's going to happen. And you have to know up front, you have to cultivate thick skin. People are going to say mean stuff.
Again, it's almost like being a podcaster. People will say the most horrible things. You don't know what you're doing. You should have said, why didn't you do that? How I can't believe, is my favorite. I can't believe you missed that. And, yeah. And I see it with apps like, this sucks. This app's no good. Get, you know, what is my favorite? Like, this is a basic functionality.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why didn't you ... You know, that anything that starts with I can't believe ... or why didn't you do it this way ...
Yeah, very typical.
People are going to leave you 1-star reviews.
Yep.
It's going to happen. You know, people they're going to, you know, essentially smear your product.
Yep.
They're going to criticize almost every decision that you make at some point. They're going to send you hate mail. We've gotten tons of hate mail.
Yep.
About everything, about the show, about the project, everything. every time you allow yourself to get angry, you turn your burnout meter up another notch.
Yeah.
If somebody's a jerk, lock the issue or close it. If they keep being a jerk, block them or mute them, and then go eat some ice cream and have a good day. You know, and it's really all about that. This is fresh on my mind because somebody said something recently to me in a GitHub issue, saying that, they did not want to listen to the show in order to keep up with the project. And, that I should be publishing minutes of the board meeting each week.
Oh, well, why
for people who don't want to listen to the show.
Oh, I see. Well, we have a transcript.
Right. And, you know, my response to that was, stop telling me what I'm supposed to do with my time.
Yeah. Reclaiming my time.
Exactly. I'm not playing this game. This is no longer a feature request. This is now a demand. And I reject your demands. Go away.
Yeah.
And so this is how you deal with that sort of stuff. I guess the hardest part is the last part is if the servers go down, it's still fine. It's okay. Stuff does go down. It's going to happen. And it's okay. I mean, when somebody tells you the servers are down and you feel that panic in your stomach, go get a cup of coffee, take a 10-minute walk before you ever open up an SSH terminal. Just go chill out. It's fine.
Life will go on.
Everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's servers go down sometimes. It's not a reflection on you. If people get mad about it or mean about it, that, you know, it's not a big deal. It's all fine. I mean, Microsoft Teams was down for 10 hours the other day globally.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I can only imagine the calls that came in at that support team.
Yeah. People were freaking out and losing their mind. But you know what? It's fine. They did not lose a single customer. And it's okay. And this is an open source project. Remember, the more users you have, the more demands are placed on your system. So if you lose some customers, it's actually better for you. you're in a better position than you were.
It's a plus.
Yeah. It's a bonus. I got one. Okay.
Can I say one thing? You hold that for a second. Yeah. There's also with open source projects. We just had this ourselves recently. For 3 years, we have been told, you got to have a marketing website. You got to do this. You got to do that. And we're like, no, hey, Phoebe. Yeah. So you can write the marketing website, Phoebe. and finally, it dawned on Daniel J. And I think he's teamed up with James Cridlin. Well, we'll do the marketing site. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's like, it's so weird. This is an open source project. Every single bit of it. And it's like, yes, 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 please do. I want 10 of them in different languages.
That fits perfectly with what I was about to say. I thought I was done, but I actually have one more point. And it's this exact point. When people ask you to do something, you ask them to do it instead.
Yeah. Why don't you do it?
Yeah. Like I heard a long time ago, I heard a sermon by this pastor, and he was saying, he said, when I first got here to this church, people would come up and say, "Hey, pastor, I really think we need a ministry that does so-and-so and so-and-so, reaching out to this people group or whatever."
Right.
And he said, "That sounds like a great idea. Let me know when it's up and running." And he said, the funny thing is, like, most of the time it just never, they never did it. And that's the thing. It's like when somebody says, "Hey, can you add this feature to your product?" Most of the time the answer should be, "Here's the link to the GitHub repo. That sounds like a great idea."
Yeah.
When you get it done, send me the pull request and I'll review it and merge it. That sounds great.
Exactly.
And 99% of the time they won't do it. But the 1% of the time that they actually do it, you get somebody like an Alex Gates, like an Eric PP, like a CSB, like a Stephen Crater, like a Nathan Gathright. I mean, you get people that step up, like a Daniel J. Lewis. You get people who step up and do awesome stuff. The other 99 people that wanted the stuff but never participated, you don't have to let those people bother you.
Right. So on the heels of this, I immediately have to ask everybody to straighten out their TLV records right away. I need you to put the right information in, please.
Is this a huge problem we're dealing with?
Yeah, it is kind of a big problem. Okay. Castomatic sometimes doesn't send the name of the podcast or the name of the song, or it only sends the name of the song. It's remote item stuff.
Oh, okay.
I would respectfully request, if you happen to be rooting around in your TLV records code, could you send along podcast name, episode name, if there's a remote item name? That would be really, really awesome. You can even do the GUID. You can do the GUID. What are you laughing about? TLV talk Mike, is not hot. Yeah.
Mike Newman.
You can even do the GUID because Helipad will resolve that. And if you have some extra time, just happen to be rooting around, the reply is really fun. But I can only reply to people using Castomatic and CurioCaster. It's really fun. Okay. My listeners love it. They really love it when I send them. And you know what happens? They'll send me a boost back. It's crazy. Now I've got email where they're paying me. It's great.
Oh, now Eric PP's jumping in with TLVs are a mess. Everybody that starts getting into the TLV game, they're always like, oh. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like it sends a shudder down your spine. But it works. It somehow works.
Well, he has a link which I'll put in the show notes, which I guess is oh yeah. Okay. So yeah, this is a good Blip 10 TLV record breakdown that Spurlock did. This is very good, people. This is very good. I'll put that in there so we can all take a look at it. Apps TLV breakdown. That's good. I mean, just when you have a moment, just have a moment to take a look at it. Really appreciate that. Because
I just don't want people to burn out Mitch has been doing this for a long time. So, 10 years on Podverse, that's a long time. And I don't blame him. He's got other things to think about in his life, but it's not like Podverse is shutting down. They're just going to slow down. They don't have the bandwidth anymore to add features and stuff, which is fine. And I want to get him back on the show and it'd be a good thing to talk it over with him. But it's just, I just don't want people to burn out. And if you pace yourself and you don't let people, open source will wreck you if you let it.
Yes, it will suck your soul.
It will. But you, there are ways where you basically, you don't have to let it do that.
And if I may compliment you on how wonderfully you have managed this orchestra of nut jobs. because that's what we have. we have an orchestra, and there's people with a ukulele, and the guy playing spoons, and someone else has a washboard, and there's a guy who has a huge drum kit, and this is why you're the pod sage. You have a very beautiful demeanor about managing that. You respond in just always the right way. If it were me, yeah, this would have blown up within 3 months.
Yeah.
Although I have gotten better. And there's things that have happened to me in the past 3 years that have made me better. But you have been managing this group. Mainly, I'd say the GitHub and just how things are put in. I just nothing but props for you, brother. Nothing but props for you.
Thanks. It's if you let it own you, you will get out. You will burn out.
Yeah.
Fast. Yeah. And if you keep it as fun, keep it as a thing that you do that brings you enjoyment, and not as trying to make it.
Exactly.
If you see it as your job and you think everything depends on that project, you're not going to last. It's going to go so fast. Yeah. Especially when you start getting some users, that's when things actually, if you're not prepared for that, then the more users you have, the more it will hurt.
I've always said, I've had many companies and always said we would have a great company if we just didn't have any customers.
That's so true. everybody, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, I bet you'd be great if you had so-and-so as a customer using the API. And I'm like, no.
But that's the same with podcasting. The minute you get a whole bunch of people listening, everyone has an opinion. Nobody knows how easy you make it look. It's like, hey, you're just talking to a microphone for 3 hours twice a week. What is it? Give me a break. It's really the same with anything with other people. It's pure people understanding of people and how people are. It's just, that's what it is.
You know, podcasts are, it's funny. Podcasts are open source. You know, Alex said something the other day that, let me see if I can find that. He was saying, I think it was a little bit of a passing comment that he threw in, but it made me think about the similarities between open source and podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
Cause podcasts are sort of like the best ones anyway, the ones like you do are open source projects in and of themselves. I think he said something about, value for value. I can't remember find his comment, but, I think value for value maybe only works fully when the listener or the consumer, whatever you want to call them, depending on what it is, when the consumer helps build the product.
Yes. Yes. No, when you're involved in it, it's a two-way street. It's my listeners are called producers for this very reason. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're involved. You have a stake. You're a stakeholder in the product. This is not like radio. This is where I think radio really is very different. It has other advantages like locality and, immediacy. But the feedback loop, which is exactly where value for value fits in, you have a feedback loop. You have to ask, you have to thank, you have to reply, basically. Mm-hmm. All of that is a part of it. Whether you're doing value for value for monetary reasons or not, it always works better if it's a round robin. It just, that's how you can make it work for yourself. Rogan doesn't have to do that. It's a different type of show, but for every other podcast I've been involved in, it's incredibly important.
Yeah. This matches up. Cause I found it. He says, I firmly believe the attention-based economy began with one-way media where participants lost the ability to openly and freely conduct discourse with relevant communities.
Mm.
It's like, the one-way media thing, because when your open source project becomes one way, when it's all about what you can give,
right.
it doesn't work anymore. No, it's not a value for, it's not value for value. It's not a value exchange.
Exactly.
Now it's just, I need something, give it to me.
Now.
Yeah, exactly. But when, it, but this, the podcasting 2.0 projects is it, project is always value for value. And we have, you know, and that includes Apple coming in last week. They built a feature and then they asked for help. We put it on the GitHub. People responded. It is a give and take.
Yeah.
You know, you're constant. We give, they take, they give, we take. It's constantly back and forth. I just think that the overlap between value for value podcasting and open source projects is probably a lot bigger than we think it is.
I agree.
They just look different on the outside, you know?
I just jotted something down, about, value for value. I just want people to know that a big part of how it works for me, in podcasting then, but it could also work for apps. I don't know. We do a newsletter before every single podcast, except for this one, funny enough. And that newsletter is an ask. It's an ask to remember to listen, remember to support us. And it's responsible for 40% of the value we receive. Just want people to realize that. Yes, you have to ask for it in your podcast. That's typically where we thank people in the podcast. But the ask is not necessarily just in the podcast. I just wrote that down as something I wanted to remind everybody of. And do hosting companies provide email capabilities, email lists? I mean, all this AI talk, like, with respect, it's great that your AI can translate, you know, your podcast into German with a German voice. Notice you never get a German to English podcast because we all know that if we heard it, we'd be like, this sucks.
and it probably sucks just as much going the other way.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, so how about where are the AI discovery tools? We now have transcripts for every podcast. Why can't I say, AI, go find me a pie? Why is it only for the creation side? This makes no sense to me. Input a few parameters. Get me something that'll interest me based upon the transcripts.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Well, good point.
Yeah. Should we play a song?
I would love to hear a song.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the Trusted that we were just talking about, which apparently is part of Phantom PowerMusic.io. It's called Millennium. It's a snappy tune from some good-looking young men. They're good guys.
I was born on the left side of the century. My head's been filled with neon sounds. Indie loud feel keeps coming around. I wanna live, cause I just don't want to cry. I just don't want to cry. I like to play with your neon love. I got comfort, money, and liberty. I'm so tired of all the Jesus wannabes. I wanna live, cause I just don't want to die. Try to kill my honest name with millennial hurricanes. So lose your heart in the millennium. It's not alright, it's not alright. I wanna be alright. So lose your heart in the millennium. It's not alright, it's not alright. I wanna be alright. I can see demons in the machines. Get high off chairs again and again. Irrelevant wars that never end. I wanna live, cause I wanna see you tonight. So try to kill my honest name with millennial hurricanes. So lose your heart in the to
much to win, but not enough to lose. Lights in the silhouette, wearing cheap shoes. Wearing cheap shoes, no way. Lose your heart in the Miami. It's not alright, it's not alright. I wanna be alright. Lose your heart in the Miami. It's not alright, it's not alright. I wanna be alright. Lose your heart. Live in your car. Lose your heart.
The Trusted Millennium Podcasting 2.0. They are from Sam Sethi's hometown in the UK.
Oh, really?
Yes. So they must be rich. But just in case they aren't, please rewind if you didn't and boost them. Boost those boys. Yeah. Boost them.
Make them more rich.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they're not rich.
That's a good tune.
Isn't that cool, though? Yeah, that's kind of like, you know, old, what does it remind me of? A little In Excess-y, a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's cool. Mm-hmm. I like it.
It's got the, you can hear the egg shaker.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I looked at the, that Noster Wallet Connect.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It seems like it's just a third. Is it just me, or is it just another API to like a service in the middle? Am I missing something?
Yeah, I mean, no, I don't think you're missing anything. It's like, it just connect. It's so that you can connect to your own node to do zaps.
Okay.
Yeah. Hmm. No, it's not even worth it. It's not worth it.
Long live Keysend. We love our Keysend. Keysend rocks. Yes.
I mean, so Lightning, on the Lightning front with LND 18, my understanding is this is when they start, which they're working on now, this is when they start building in Bolt 12.
Oh, really? So, now?
Yeah. Bolt 12, they're going to do it in stages, I believe, is my understanding, based on the...
We always thought we'd live to see the day that Bolt 12 came to light.
Yeah, I think Taproot threw them much more curveball. I'm talking about Lightning Labs and LND. Taproot threw them a lot of curveballs. So when they went to Taproot channels, what I understand, and also what threw them curveballs is the fees from the mempool got so high that dozen or so bugs that were causing forced closing of channels
was making everybody poor. Everyone was becoming poor from forced closes. So like,
mm-hmm. They had to stop and say, okay, let's go back and actually fix this. And so like a lot of the stuff that's been going on the last really 3 months on the LND developer mailing list has been all about trying to solve these forced close issues. And a lot of it has got to do with just things getting out a channel, things internal to LND getting out of sync.
Yeah.
And then LND gets into a state where it's afraid of doing something wrong. And so it just force closes the channel.
Right.
And thinking, okay, well, we need to get this back in order. And they've really fixed a lot of that stuff. To my understanding, there's still a few things that can cause it to happen, but most of the egregious ones I think have been fixed. So I think in my understanding is in 18, they're going to start on Bolt 12. If we can ever get to a stable Bolt 12 implementation, honestly,
life changes
going to be better.
Life changes.
Yeah, it really will. Yeah. Hey, because then you have open invoices and you don't have to worry. Because Keysend was a hack from the beginning. It's a beautiful hack, but it is a hack.
Yeah, just open invoice. It just here's one invoice, reuse as often as you want for whatever you want.
Yeah.
Which seems so logical.
Yeah.
It's like,
it really does.
Why would you restrict the amount of money you can receive? Please, just send me money.
Yeah, the invoice thing is the invoice thing always, it never made a whole lot of sense, because it just means I can't send you money until you, right. Like I can go to the bank and deposit money in your account.
Yeah. Yeah.
They'll let me do that all day. I don't have to have your permission.
Yeah. You can send a Venmo to somebody just having their address. Boom. It's done.
Yeah. Nothing else works where I have to allow you to give me money first.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the big confusing parts for people, quite honestly, mm-hmm. when they're like, wait, I have to fill up my wallet. I have to create an invoice, and then I have to copy that invoice and then pay. This is weird.
So there's this funny story. My uncle, he's passed away now. He was this clever guy, and he's like country clever, you know, like he lived up in North Alabama in the middle of nowhere. And so he sold this guy something. I forgot what it was. It was like a car or something. The guy paid him for it. No, it was a gun or something he sold him. And he paid him for it and gave him, he wrote him a check. So he goes to the guy's bank to cash this check. And they say, the teller's like, I'm sorry, he doesn't have enough funds. We can't in his account, we can't cash the check. And so the check's like, you know, $100 or something.
Yeah.
And he said, well, how much does he have in his account? And she was like, well, I'm sorry, I can't, it's private. I can't tell you that much. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you that information. Mm-hmm. He said, well, can I put money in his account? And she was like, sure. Yeah. And he was like, well, let me put $10 in there. And so he put $10 in there, and she was like, now can I cash the check? And she was like, no. And he's like, and so he kept putting $5 in there until he got it all out.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I wonder if you
can. Clever is what we're
talking about. I wonder if you can. Country clever. That's another good show title, Dave Jones. I like that one. Country clever. That's a good one, brother. Shall we thank some people?
Oh, let's do it.
Yeah. Let me see. We got a couple of live boosts. Not much. Let me see. We got. Let's see. 1234 from November 4, Victor X-ray, who says thank you for your coding. Oh, that's a new one.
Nope. Thank you for you're welcome.
Short row of ducks. Martin Lindeskog, he's back. Haven't heard from him for a while. 222. I have a podcast called Pen Meets Paper in Swedish and English, but I want to check Remarkable Gadget. Yes. Oh, I'll have to listen to this podcast. Now that I've already bought one, hopefully I bought the right thing. Joe Martin. Hello, Joe Martin. He's listening in from rainy England, finally free on a Friday night, 2100 sats. Thank you, brother. No gig? No gig on a Friday night? Joe Martin, the premiere, the first wallet switch we performed on this show was Joe Martin's song.
High Gravity.
That's right. There's Martin Lindeskog again, 1111, row of sticks. I wanted to top up my wallet, but found out that Albie is doing maintenance regarding the credit card option. Mm. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Salty Crayon, 2222. Howdy, boardroom. Sorry for the email, Adam. Didn't realize it was time for Hot Namespace Day. Go podcasting. He was emailing me, but I'm trying to help him out. I had, I did my podcast with Jimmy V. About the compression.
I saw this.
It, you know, it turned out really good. We didn't really resolve much, but it was a fun conversation. We both had our. This guy is a real force to be reckoned with. He really is very excited about value for value, and he wants to onboard a whole bunch of his. He is onboarding a whole bunch of his buddies, and it turned out to be a really nice conversation. We had a lot of fun.
Did it go like this? You're wrecking my music. And you're like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, well, that would be the short version.
Okay.
I think he was surprised that I showed up. He was like, I can't believe it. I said, what do you mean, man? We had an agreement. This is the time. Here I am. He's a good guy. He's going to be very important in the value verse. And I have been trying to... trying to work on make the problem is his songs sound different than someone else's songs, you know, mm-hmm. his volume mastering is different than someone else. It's all very different. So there's somewhere you have to have a kind of a middle of, so that it all sounds good enough. That's just the way it is. So, but I think we had a good understanding. So
And his last name is V. So
yes, V. Of course. What more do you need? 45,678 from Dreb Scott. Pre-show boost, boost, he says. Boost. Thank
boost.
You, Dreb.
Boost. No. Thank you, Dreb.
And let me see. Yeah, so this is, see, this is an example. This is Fountain. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It looks like I put Jimmy V put me in his value block. Oh, put us in the value block. There you go.
Oh, that was nice.
From the interview. Oh, okay. Well, I'll read this then. 1,000 sats from Salty Crayon to Outside In with Jimmy V, episode 2. Appreciate the feedback. Adam and Jimmy are still tweaking this. This is because Salty Crayon, his levels. He says, Salty Crayon's great. He plays everything uncompressed. Yeah, that's not the kind of show I want to make. I have a little more high energy. And so he asked for some feedback, so I'm helping him with that. Cameron, also 3333. Thanks, Adam, for being on the show. Extra sats for mentioning Helix. I love all the Canadian rockers. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, all these guys are coming in. They're coming into V. Remember Helix?
Helix. No, give me a track.
They were like Helix was heavy, man. Helix. I think I played them on Headbangers Ball. Let me see. Why is this? What is going on here?
YouTube.
We're both going to YouTube. How come I can't get to you? Oh, I see what's going on. Helix. You find them?
Band.
Let me see. YouTube.
Oh, hair metal.
Yeah. Massive hair metal. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Rock You.
It sounds like the one that I would have played. Yeah, let me see. What Rock. Song did you play on the Headbangers Ball? That was probably Rock You. Yes, indeed. Here it is. What is this? Heavy Metal Love? What was that? Let me see. How old is this? I think they're from Scandinavia, too. Yeah, baby. 1983.
Nice.
There you go. And I heard one more boost come in. We'll just check that real quick. Harv Hat says, live boosting at 12,345. Thank you, Harv Hat. Dave, what you got on the PayPals and the Boostergrams?
Ooh, I got a nice PayPal from the boys and girls at Blueberry.
Oh, hello, Blueberry.
They sent us $300.
Oh, let me give him a baller.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, brothers. Very nice.
It says go, and their message is go podcasting from the Blueberry Podcasting team.
Go podcasting to you.
Go podcasting!
Just got 33,333 from Darren O. He says, can never use too much compression to get the voice. Go podcasting. Darren knows. Darren gets it.
That would be a comment from him. Yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Blueberry. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. Let's see. We got $55 from Jorge Hernandez.
Oh.
He says, thanks for creating the opportunity to enhance our show. I sent a private note via email. Not sure if they're being filtered out. Nope. We got it. I got your note.
Yes. Thank you very much. Very nice note. Jorge and Savannah. I think that it was from both of them.
Yeah. They're the pleb to pleb. I think it's the...
Oh, okay. Well, we appreciate
podcast,
it.
I believe. Yeah.
We appreciate it. Thank you,
Jorge. Got some boostergrams. Let's see. We got Salty Crayon. Sent us 2222. He says, howdy, boardroom from the northeast corner of Texas Hill Country. The fountain split percentages are out of whack.
I think we read that one on the last show, I think.
On the last show? Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think that came in live.
Oh, did that come in after? Okay.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get to the right point. Did we read the, I think we read the big boost for the big Liberty boost from Boobery.
Yeah, we had that one.
We did this. Was last week a night boardroom? It was a weekend.
Yeah, we did Saturday. Right? Yeah. We did Saturday. Oh, so yeah.
I got my timing off.
Yes, okay. I'm sorry. Yeah. I should have reminded you. It was a boardroom. Not after dark. Was boardroom on the weekend.
In weekend jeans, boardroom in jeans.
Yes. Yeah, casual clothing. Yes, that's right. casual boardroom. Friday.
It was casual Saturday.
That's
in the
right.
Boardroom.
That's okay. Right.
Okay, here we go. January 28th. This goes. What is an aggregator app, and where this? This is from Source D over Pod. This is Archie. 1701 Sats. He said, "What's an He's talking about. He's talking about Rob's from Lipson's comments. What is an aggregator app, and where are the stats taken after Apple cut the automatic downloads? Good questions. Don't know the answer to either one of those. Source D also again with a 1701 Star Trek boost. He says, I thought Google Chrome was the default on Android and Android had a large market share of computing. That's true. But go look at the, just go look at the charts, Archie. But Chrome dominates. I mean, it's not just Android. It's desktop. Yeah. It's, I mean, like the numbers are not even funny anymore.
Does Brave show up as a Chrome derivative or does it show up as Brave?
I think it shows up as Brave because it's not detecting the engine. I think it's detecting the actual browser. Right. Yeah.
I like Brave. Yep. Brave is my browser, man. I like it.
And he says, what about Chrome OS? Yeah. I mean, yeah, same deal. I just don't, if you go look at the actual numbers, it's not just those pre-installs. It's legit download market share. Mirror Motors Podcast, Kyron 1234 through Fountain. He says, appreciate your focus on the individual, Adam. 1% of the total now plus 40% downloads doesn't matter on one single bit to me. Appreciate all your hard work. Alex, NATube is where I have been directing people who want to start a video podcast, and appreciate you, Dave. Thanks. Thanks, Kyron.
Yeah. I mean, I'll just keep hammering that until the cows come home, that it's not about, it's not about the aggregate. No longer necessary to be number one or top of the list or have the most downloads. You just need people to support you. That's really it. That's the new world that we live in. That's exactly what the Valueverse musicians are finding out. I don't need to be number one. I don't need to be featured by Spotify. I just need my people to show up and support me. That's it.
Yeah. Sir Brian of London, 21948. Through Castomatic, he says, I had to open Podverse, search for Podping, then wind back to 34 minutes to boost this mention in Castomatic. Go Apple, waiting to hear Apple's Apple Pay via PayPal come in. Yes, sure. Yeah. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate you. Another follow-up. 1948 boost, Sir Brian of London. He says, and Sir Alex saved my butt with professional level Python for Hive Podping Writer. Alex is saving people's butts is basically his job title.
Yes, no kidding.
During the day job, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I probably, good old Alex, he's probably still in the split for the live show. Let me see. He must be loving that.
He's watching the sass roll in.
Hey, I'm doing great here today. This is good. Yeah, good.
Don't tell him. Rene Knige. I know it's how I butcher this
name. I love how you say that. Everyone loves how you say that.
Podverse says compression boost.
Nice.
Thank you, Renee. Bear Snare sent a satchel of Richards through Podcast Guru. He says, you guys are doing the Lord's work. Well, thank you. We're trying.
Yes. It's a calling.
Dude Person sent a 4,096. That's a 4K kiloboost through Breeze.
Ooh, kiloboost. He says,
Dave, in ActivityPub, the identity is controlled by the server owner. In Nostra, the identity is controlled by the client. Okay. And he says, Nostra doesn't rely on any one relay to maintain its decentralization. I can migrate to any relay with my identity intact. Okay.
Did you see any of the Congress sesh with the social media companies?
I did not.
Oh my God. I actually felt bad for people like Zuckerberg. You know, they had the whole room stacked with people whose children had committed suicide or bought a pill online that had fentanyl and died from it, that had been sexually abused. And literally like, you have blood on your hands, turn around and apologize to these people. And, you know, they were all stacked. They had pictures and they're holding up pictures of their dead children. It was the most disgusting display I've ever seen. And, you know, meanwhile, by the way, we're just funding all kinds of actual killing in sandy areas of the world. But okay, let's focus on Facebook and Instagram. But as I'm watching that, so it was all about Section 230. That's basically what it was.
Of course.
And I'm concluding there's only two ways this can finally wind up. Now, it is an election year, so they're doing this to pressure them. You know, everyone wants a backdoor. Everyone wants influence. Hey, you know, heat my account or whatever. Heat my post. I can tell you the end goal is, or the end result will be, if it's not now, it'll be in 5 years or 10 years. Platforms are going to go away. It won't be worth it anymore. Because either they'll be so restrictive that, I mean, because they basically want these people, you know, these platforms to be liable. They're saying it's your fault. It's your fault. It's your fault. Well, it's not, because it's under Section 230 unprotected. I think that's going to go away eventually. And I got to be honest with you, I wouldn't cry for a second. I want to go back to RSS feeds. You know, that's what it's, go back to RSS feeds. And it's your feed. You're liable for your feed. You know, the index can still have an index of feeds. You know, we're not hosting content. We needed an index of feeds for blogs. It's a mess. The only other way you can do it is everybody has to have a government ID that is known, that is approved, it's digital, there's verification, and that's not an American thing yet. No. But I just see the writing on the wall. You can put it down now. You can write it down. This platform stuff is going to go away. It's killing. It is. I mean, it's not killing people, but it's not healthy. It's just not healthy.
Totally agree.
And they're going,
the world will be a better place for it.
I think so too. And I, you know, it's like, you know, and maybe even, I think even Apple will start, you know, Spotify, they'll start to have second thoughts. It's like, oh, I'm getting blamed for this. I'm getting blamed for that.
Hey, I've said it before. The internet was a mistake.
Yeah,
it was a mistake.
Yeah. It wasn't meant to be. Yeah. Probably.
You know what? As a family at night, we've been watching musicals.
Oh, we've been watching Little House on the Prairie, but okay.
Have you? You've been watching it?
Honorary member of the Little House on the Prairie community now. Somehow I got into that.
One day I'll tell you about, there's a single episode of Little House on the Prairie that taught me what being a man really is, more than any other thing, anybody in my life,
wow,
anything else. It was it was like the greatest example of what true manhood looks like, being a grown up man.
Wow. Well, I just want to say that the LTHOP community is on the edge of its seat. Oh, LHTOP. I got it wrong. LHTOP.
We'll talk
okay,
about it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to remember, because I want to know. I want to know what that could.
No, it was a great episode.
It was all propaganda, by the way. The entire show was, well, I think it was a Norman Lear propaganda, but that's okay. If it did that for you, I'm happy.
No, I mean, Noster, yeah, I understand about the identity thing. There's problems with that identity though. And there's problem, but if there's no secondary keys, so you can't revoke a key, you just have to create a whole new identity.
Mm. Wow. I didn't even thought about that. Because, you know, I do a lot of encrypted email, and I can revoke a key and have a new one set up.
Right. So there's no key hierarchy. The issue, yes, you can move your identity from one relay to another, but in practice, your relays are limited to what you're connected to through your app, and that's primarily. Let me just say, when Domus goes away, which it's looking like it will because of all the funding stuff that he's talking about, all of Noster collapses. Mm. That's just what's going to happen. These are highly centralized relays. And yes, you technically on paper, you could move from one to another, but that's not the way it's working out in practice. Anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on that, but I understand what the deal is.
I do have an important question that just came in from Booberry, 555. What kind of musicals, Dave?
Oh, I forgot. We've been watching musicals at night. I can confidently say this with, like, with full authority that I've granted to myself. The greatest musical of all time is Hello Dolly with Barbra Streisand.
Wow.
There is no second place.
What do you think about Jesus Christ Superstar?
Haven't seen it yet. It's on the list. Okay. My wife made a list of 104 musicals. And we're watching has two
she
a
stopped,
week.
Has she stopped teaching? Is she no longer in the teaching profession? Where, yeah. How much? Where'd she find this time?
we've made it through a bunch so far. Last night we finished An American in Paris. Gene Kelly.
This is this is a secret passion of mine. I have seen many musicals on Broadway.
I love them. I'd never seen very many musicals. And then like she started watching them and made this list. And now I'm hooked. It's a fan. I think what reminded me of it is when I said the internet is a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like you look and you don't even have to go back to these musicals from the 50s and 60s. You can go back to even old TV shows like the X-Files from the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And what you notice is like when you're in somebody's office, their desk does not have a computer on it.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
And it's so satisfying.
I was watching last night. We were watching the documentary of We Are the World, USA for Africa.
Ooh, I bet that's good.
It was 1985. And Lionel Richie is kind of doing most of the narration. There's a lot of stuff I didn't know. But what was interesting is they had to get all these artists into the A&M studio all at the same time. And there were no cell phones. You know, there was no email that, you know, they had to communicate through managers. They were sending cassette tapes with the demo out through FedEx. And
it worked.
Well, a lot of them were at the American Music Awards. So they chose that night. So after everyone had their awards and they all took them to the studio, but it was the same thing. Like, I mean, I think Smokey Robinson had one of those, you know, the big VHS cassette sized cell phones, but otherwise no one had a cell phone. No one had email. No one had even just to get the demo. Now it's like, hey, I'll shoot you an MP3. Like, no, yeah. No, here, they made cassettes and they FedEx the cassettes. It was beautiful to see.
Smokey Robinson.
Yeah. The day it
Tears
was, it,
of a clown.
It was so, so simple back then. You will enjoy Book of Mormon.
Book of Mormon. Okay.
Fantastic. Fantastic musical.
Okay. Yeah. Write that down and make sure that's on the list. Book of Mormon. So we watched Cats the other night. Never seen it.
I've
before.
Never seen it. Was it good? People rave
it's
about
horrible.
It.
Horrible. It's the worst pile of garbage I've ever seen.
This is why I've never been compelled to go see it. Like, I don't think I want to go see Cats.
Oh my gosh, it's awful. It's evidently the we didn't make it through. We made it through about 30 minutes and we're all three of us, me and my wife and my daughter just stared at each other like, no, we can't do this anymore.
Good. It well, I want to report every board meeting. I want to report. I want the Pod Sage musical recommendation of the week.
We need a jingle. Segment. Yes.
Sir TJ, the Wrathful, Jeff Smith, get on the stick, people. We need a jingle.
Got CSB coming in 34,000 sets.
There he is.
Fountain, he says, howdy, fellow white people, Dave and Adam.
Fellow white people.
made it through ChatGPT, so we know it's safe.
Mm-hmm.
I have gray blue eyes, and I'm passing as local in Northern Europe, including Scandinavia, despite merely being a Polak. However, if you are an American or you are interested in Black American culture and experiences in history, then I recommend podcast Mo Facts with Adam Curry that you can find at www.mofactswithaz.com to get comprehensive insights that go beyond surface level commentary. Yo, CSB.
Thank you, CSB. I love that guy's doing that. He's promoting everyone else's podcast. That's so cool. That's so cool.
Very kind. That's really cool.
That is. Thank you, CSB. Appreciate it.
We got some monthlies. We got Pod Page, Brendan over Pod Page, $25.
Now with chapters and transcripts on Pod Page. He's pulling that right in.
Oh, is that a new feature?
Recently? Yeah, it's new. It's Noi. Nice. It's Noi from Pod Page.
Cameron Rose, $25. Thank you, Cameron. Been around a long time. Appreciate you, brother. Chad Farrow, the chief marketing officer of Podcasting 2.0, at $20.22. Thank you, Chad. Always a pleasure. New Media, $1. That's Martin Landeskog and Martin and Mark Graham, $1. Thank you.
Thank you all so much. I checked the tally coin. Nothing there, of course, but in case you wanted to donate a whole Bitcoin to the project, go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you'll see two red donate buttons. One is for on-chain Bitcoin. The other is for your fiat fund coupons through PayPal. And of course, we recommend you go to podcastapps.com, get a modern podcast app for all kinds of reasons. There's what are we now on features? 20? 19? 20?
Like namespace features?
Yeah. There's a lot.
I happen to be on the podcast namespace page and I can count them.
Yeah. Well, then Dave is counting. I'm going to say there's set between 17 and 20. And a lot of these apps have implemented all of them. And the one that we like is V for V. So you can fill up your app, fill it up with some Satoshis and boost us. And we'll be 25. Happy. 25. Wow. And we'll be happy to read out your note and thank you on the show. And as always, this is a value for value project, podcasting 2.0. Everything we do, we've got podcastindex.social. We got the website. We've got the API. We got the namespace. We're here for you with the podcast and the board meeting every single week. And we appreciate all our board members who showed up in the chat, which you can access through some of these apps as well. How do we even promote the chat? How do people even know to go there? Do we even promote it?
To the IRC chat?
Yeah. To the IRC chat. Well, that's where everyone is, I think, the IRC chat.
You know what's funny is I keep tweeting and tooting out this same chat link from like literally 5 months ago.
And that's the Noster chat?
That's the MK Ultra chat?
Yeah, MK Ultra.
I mean, like, That thing's just been running for months. I have no idea what kind of craziness is going on in that chat.
I don't think anyone uses it.
Let's go check out. Let's find out. There might be all sorts of horrible
Chinese stuff, probably. Yeah, that's possible.
Let's see. Chat.
I wonder if anyone's ever in there. That's interesting.
A Chris you know from 5 days ago.
No.
He's talking about NIP47 and not the Wallet Connect. There's stuff in
Wallet here. Connect. There you go. There's stuff in there. All right, everybody. We look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, same IRC channel. And of course, we'll be on the stream. Get a modern podcast app. It will notify you when we go live and make sure to send us a boost. We're happy to send you a boost back. Brother Dave, thank you so much, man. It's always people that maybe don't realize it, but this is literally the only time we talk.
Yeah. There's a few texts during the week, but this is when we talk.
Pretty much it. So this is a true board meeting. Thank you all, everybody. We'll see you next week. That concludes the board meeting with all of our resolutions. The meeting minutes will be in the transcript. See you next Friday, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Podcasts are cool.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! So, that's happening.